All right. Well, let's open up tonight again in a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And God, as the song said, we just lay it down all at your feet. We surrender it all to you, God. I pray that you give us the strength to lay down at your feet whatever you're calling us to lay down in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whether it be a habit, maybe smoking, maybe drinking, Father God, maybe a wrong relationship, God, I just pray that we lay it all down at your feet in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that you give us your grace and your strength to do that starting tonight, that we would live holy lives, God, as you are holy, lives that are set apart, that show that we're followers of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray for the people tonight, anybody here tonight who's suffering, who's hurting, whose heart is broken. God, I pray that you bind up the broken hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, have your way in this place, Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that you speak to our hearts and that we would learn to become friends again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, we've been on this series called Growing in God's Love over the last probably 4 or 5 weeks. And tonight I want to talk to you about, it's still growing in God's love, but becoming friends again. And I just basically want to recap or summarize last week's message on how to uproot feelings of unforgiveness. We talked about, you know, the fact that all of us, every day when we wake up and walk out of our rooms, we're going to interact with other people, right? I don't know anybody that does not interact with another human soul on the face of this earth. So every day that we get up, we're going to interact with someone, right? And it's pretty likely that in our interactions with other people that they will either say or do something that doesn't sit quite right with us. You know, they may offend us, they may insult us, they may hurt us. And we talked about last week that if we allow that seed of offense to take root in the soil of our hearts, that seed of offense could become a root of bitterness. And that root of bitterness, unchecked, could become a tree of hatred. And if you don't check that, hatred could turn into murder. And Jesus said it. Jesus said in Luke 17:1 that offenses will come. But you've got to decide. We've got to decide deep down in our heart to walk in a spirit of forgiveness before someone even offends us. You've just got to determine it deep down that, you know what? Most likely I will be hurt today, but I decide to forgive that person in advance. And we talked about being imitators of God, Ephesians 5:1, right? God is what? God is a forgiver. He walks in forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if we're to imitate God in this area, that means we're to walk in forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know, our eternal salvation depends upon walking in forgiveness. What did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6? That if you forgive men their trespasses against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive men their offenses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. And our salvation is based on what? It's based on God's forgiveness of our sins. And this means that if we're not forgiving others when they hurt us, then the Word says that God is not forgiving us. And our eternal salvation is in danger. So I encourage us all to walk in a spirit of forgiveness. And then we talked about some of the ways to uproot these feelings of anger and bitterness. And we talked about number one was what? It was praying to God. Somebody once said that it seems that God does nothing except someone prays. Prayer changes things. You may not speak in tongues in that heavenly language yet, but you can pray to God in English. He understands. And you know, when you pray to God and you pray to God in that heavenly tongue, it strengthens your spirit on the inside because it takes strength to forgive your offender. You agree tonight? So how do you gain that strength? By praying to God. You know, prayer changes hard hearts into soft hearts. Number two, how to uproot feelings of anger and bitterness. Start speaking the words of God, this word, the scripture, over your life. Because the words that we read and listen to condition our thoughts, right? And our thoughts eventually influence our actions. Why not let our thoughts be conditioned by these words, the words of God? Get into the Word of God. The Word of God is full of forgiveness. About releasing your offender of the debt that he owes you. And, you know, as you pray during the day, you just say, and you speak God's word and say, you know what? I am a forgiver 24 hours a day. I am to forgive my offender just as God in Christ forgave me. The word of God says it. So start speaking the word of God concerning forgiveness over your life. And then number three, we talked about this. You know, somebody may have offended you. But the point is this, don't talk about that person and his offense. Because the things that you talk about become stronger. If you feed your feelings of bitterness by talking about your offender, guess what? You starve your love walk with others. But if you starve your feelings of bitterness by not talking about the wrongs that people have done you, guess what? Then you feed your love walk in relationship to others. So instead of talking about what people have done you wrong, start talking about God. Start having God conversations. Now tonight, that was just a brief summary of last week. Tonight, I'd like to talk about becoming friends again with someone that you may have fallen out of relationship with. It's a message on reconciliation. Restoring, what is reconciliation? Let me ask you that tonight. Anybody have any idea what the word reconciliation means? What is that? To mend things. It means to restore a broken relationship. To become friends again with someone who has hurt you. A brother or sister in Christ. And you know, removing feelings of bitterness, the message we talked about last week, removing feelings of bitterness and anger is a first major step in becoming friends again with your offender. You know, you've got to get rid of those feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness before you can come back into a relationship with somebody who's hurt you. Make sense? All right. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. You know, at one time, we were separated from God by our sins, right? Adam and Eve sinned, they ate of the tree that God told them not to eat of, and sin entered the world. They were separated from God, and that sin nature was passed down to us. We were separated from God, right? But we came back into relationship with God. We were reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You know, when you accepted Jesus, now how many here tonight are followers of Jesus Christ? You're walking with Jesus. You have faith in Jesus. Well, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, you were reconciled to God. You were made friends again with God. You came back into relationship with God. And now the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20 tells us that as believers in Jesus Christ, we've been given the message or the task of preaching reconciliation. Jesus commanded it in Mark 16, 15, right? He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. It was not the great suggestion. It was the great commission. So what are we called to do as believers in Jesus Christ? We're called to help bring the lost back into relationship with God by sharing the good news. And we're not really called to bring God to them because God is everywhere present, but we're called to bring maybe a deeper revelation of God to those who are lost. We're ministers of reconciliation. The thing is this, we've been reconciled with God by faith in Jesus so that now we should reconcile with each other. Become friends with the person, the sister, the brother who has offended you. Now the question is this tonight, why do we become friends again with the offender? What are some of the reasons to reconcile with the person that has hurt you? Got some thought-provoking ideas here tonight from the Word of God. How many of us here tonight claim to love God? Okay, we all claim to love God. If we claim to be walking with God and growing in our love walk with God, and we're growing deeper and deeper with God, and His love is filling us more and more, then what? Then that love of God that is filling us should be flowing over, spilling out of us into others, including those who have offended us, so that when they offend us, we don't hold on to the offense, we forgive them. Because forgiveness is a part of love, is a part of God's love. So why do we become friends again? Why do we reconcile with the person who has offended us? Let's look at 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4. He writes it so plainly. And this is what he says. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 19 through 21. 1 John 4, 19 through 21. And this is what it says in the NIV. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So, if you tell yourself, well, I really love God, but you hate a brother or a sister in Christ, the Word of God says that, you know what, we're not walking in the truth. Because if you really love God, then that love will overflow, it will spill over into your relationships with other people. Does that make sense tonight? Does that make sense? It's a cycle. What did the lawyer ask Jesus in Matthew chapter 22? He said, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, friends, it's a cycle. As you love God, it spills over. His love should spill over into your walk with others. And as you love others, it's evidence that you love God. Let me say that again. It's like a cycle. As you're loving God, as your walk with God is increasing, as your love walk with God is increasing, it should spill over into your relationship with others, loving others. And as you love others, it's evidence that you really love God. And it just follows that if you love God, you also love those who are made in the image of God. Does that make sense? If you love God, everybody is made in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of everyone on the face of this earth. And if you love God, it follows that you should love those who are made in His image. So loving God and loving people. Number two, why come back into friendship with your offender? Because the Word commands us to become friends again, to reconcile. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's like a command. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Make every effort to keep unity with others. It's a command. Now, how many here tonight believe that you're part of the body of Christ? And that you have a special purpose in the body of Christ? God has a special purpose for you to fulfill in His body. I want to mention this to you tonight. The very person that you are out of relationship with may be the very person that God wants to use to help you fulfill your special part in His body. Let me say that again tonight. The very person that you're not reconciled to right now, that you're out of relationship with right now, may be the very person that God wants to use to help you fulfill your special part in the body of Christ. Think of it this way. I've got a physical body here, right? Let me give you a little visual here. Look, you see my physical body, right? And I've got a hand. This right hand is attached to this part of my body called the arm, right? Okay, you see that? Every one of you have a right hand attached to your right arm, right? Okay, if I cut this hand off, the part of my body called my arm, right? And it remains detached from my arm, and I don't attach it back, what will happen to this hand?
Die.
It will wither and die. And this hand helps feed me in the morning. How many feed themselves with their hands in the morning? This hand helps clothe me in the morning. How many here use their hands to help clothe themselves? Yeah, this hand helps move things around. But if I cut this hand off my arm and don't reattach it, it will eventually die. It will not fulfill the purpose to which it was called, which is to feed me in the morning, to dress myself, to move things, to work. Does that make sense tonight? It's the same way in our relationship with somebody else in the body of Christ. If you remain out of relationship, detached with the very person that God wants you to be friends with, then the special plan that God has for your life in the body of Christ may wither and die. Let me say that again. If you detach yourself from somebody who offended you, and you remain detached, you do not reconcile with that person, the very special purpose that God had for you to fulfill in His body may die. It may never be fulfilled. So how do you solve this problem? How do you fulfill that special part that God has for you in the body? Become friends again with the person who has offended you. Now, I want to share a personal story here tonight. There was some time back, there was this certain individual that was doing outreach with us here in the city of Tulsa. And he was coming out with us on a certain night of the week, and we were in a bus. He was at one end of the bus. I was at the other end of the bus, okay? And from one end of the bus, he just kept calling out to me and asking me questions and calling out to me and asking me questions and talking over people's heads. And, you know, it was just kind of distracting to other people. It was like insensitive to other people who were sitting in the bus. And he said, let's talk about so forth and so on. I said, well, you know, why don't we talk over the phone later on? Let's not do this in the bus, talking across other people. Well, the next week came about, and I tried to talk to him to say hello. And he would not respond back. He basically said, well, you told me not to talk in the bus. You told me not to talk in the bus. He became offended. And like months previous, he had told me that God shared with him that he and I were to become friends. And that he and I were to work in ministry together. Now, you know, when I told him to keep it quiet in the bus, he got offended. And he did not want to talk to me. So, you know what? I believe that God had put me across his path, had put him across my path, so that he could fulfill his special part in the body. He got offended, and he cut himself off from us, and no longer came out with us for that outreach. Guys, it can happen to any one of us. God has got something special for you, but if you cut yourself off, if you don't reconcile with your offender, your special purpose in the body may not be fulfilled. How many here tonight want to fulfill their special part in the body of Christ? So say it with me tonight. I decide in myself to reconcile, to become friends again with the person who offended me. In Jesus' name, amen. Another reason to reconcile, to become friends again with the person who hurt you. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be blessed and wholesome? Do you want to be blessed and have a wholesome life in every part of your existence? How many here tonight want to be blessed in every part of their life? You know what? The solution may be becoming friends again with the person who may have offended you. Let's turn to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, and this is what it says. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, in friendship. and reconciliation. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And he says, how good it is and pleasant when the brothers dwell together in unity. It's like oil. Now, the oil was poured on the head of the high priest and dripped down to his feet. It represented the anointing of God. You know, it's when you're out of relationship with someone that God wants you in relationship with, the anointing may not be there in the same strong way that it could be if you were friends with them. How many here want the anointing of God on their lives? Then reconcile with the person who has hurt you. And then it says this, Mount Hermon in Israel was a mountain where there was snow. And when that snow melts, the precipitation comes off that mountain and helps water the land and give a good crop and blessing. How many want their land and their life to be blessed? Your land might be your finances. It may be your health. It may be your emotions. How many want blessing in those areas? Then you need to live in unity with the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9? In the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the what makers? The what makers? For they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are the strife makers. Blessed are those who do not reconcile. No, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. So if you're walking in peace, in unity, in friendship with others, the blessing of God will be there for your life. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Let me ask you this question tonight. Do you want to go to heaven and see God one day? How many here want to go to heaven one day and see God? All of us, right? Then reconcile, become friends again with that person who has insulted you. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 14. Another reason to reconcile and become a friend again. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Make every effort to live in what? In peace, in harmony, in friendship with all men, and to be holy. Living in peace with others, in context here, is part of holy living. Living in peace with others, living in friendship with those who have offended you, is part of holy living. And with this sort of holy living, without this sort of holy living, the Bible says you will not see God. That's what it says in Hebrews 12, verse 14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without this sort of holiness, without this sort of holiness that is living in peace with others, you will not see God. It goes back to what we talked about last week. That our eternal salvation is dependent on forgiving others, in walking in peace with others. That if we forgive others their trespasses against us, God will forgive us. But if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. So, if we want to see God one day in heaven, we must walk in peace, in friendship, in harmony, in unity with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? All right, now what are some of the things that are necessary for becoming friends again with the person who hurt you? Let's look back to Ephesians chapter 4. What are some of the things necessary for becoming friends again? Ephesians 4, verse 2. And this is what it says. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then in verse 3 he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So in order to keep the unity of the Spirit, in order to live in peace with others, in friendship with others, you've got to be, number 1, in verse 2, you've got to be humble. Humility is necessary for becoming friends again with that person who hurt you. It's putting aside your pride and going to that person that you may have offended. You know, you may have offended somebody who has stopped talking to you. Maybe there's somebody out there that was talking to you on a daily basis, maybe every other day. Maybe it was a spouse, or maybe it was just a friend or a loved one. And maybe you said or did something to offend them. And all at once, they stopped communicating with you. That ever happens to anybody here? Where somebody just kind of cuts you off? And you're like, man, it's been 3 days. They haven't talked to me. They haven't called me. It's been 4 days. It's been 5 days. It's been a week. It's been 2 weeks. It's been a month. Where's Jack? Where's Sally? Where's Joe? Where are they? Maybe you offended them. What did Jesus say to do in that case? Look at Matthew chapter 5. This is what Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5. He says this. Therefore, verse 23, Matthew 5, 23. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Then verse 25. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So if there's somebody out there that you think you may have offended, and maybe they cut you off in communication, they don't want to talk to you anymore, go to that person and say, you know what, Jack? You know what, Roy? You know what, John? It seems like you stopped talking to me. Did I say or do something to offend you? What does it take to do this? It takes a spirit of humility, right? Laying aside your pride. And offering the person an apology. And I'm sorry, I was wrong. It takes humility to say sometimes, I was wrong, right? Is that correct? It takes humility. Just say, I was wrong. Those are powerful words. Please forgive me. I apologize. And at that point, you've released yourself. And you know what? You may go to the person that you've offended. And they may still not want to talk to you. Even after you've offered your apology, they may still say, you know what, I want nothing to do with you. I don't want to talk with you. They don't call you. They don't communicate with you. At that point, you've released yourself. You've done your part by going to them and offering an apology. And I'm sorry. And I was wrong. You've done your part. You've been released. The rest is up to them and to God. You know, late last year, back in December of 06, there's this guy that I'm in relationship, in a business relationship with. And I help him out in his business, and he paid me a certain amount of money back in 2006. So, just as to illustrate this point in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and forward. Basically, he offered me a certain amount of money, and I thought that he should pay me more money. So he always considered me like a brother and a friend. So I wrote him like a formal agreement, like a contract, and kind of submitted it to him, sent it to him. And it seems like after so many days, maybe after a week or two, it seems like he just kind of cut himself off from me. And I'm like, man, what did I do to offend this guy? And I kept calling him and calling him, trying to reach out to him. I think he was upset about the fact that, you know, he saw me as a brother, as a real good friend. And I submitted to him this formal contract, this agreement, for him to pay me more. So I asked him, I said, man, did I offend you? Not really, but you kind of irked me a little bit. You irritated me a little bit. So what did I do? I was like, man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and I offer you my apologies. You know, forgive me for upsetting you, for offending you. And he accepted the apology, and guess what? Today we're great friends. We just talked about 2 hours ago, actually. And so it's the same way with us here tonight, with you guys here tonight, you know. There may be somebody out there that you may feel on the inside that maybe you've hurt, you've offended, you've insulted. Go to that person in humility. Lay your pride aside and offer them an apology. It also takes humility to show someone how they've offended you. And how many here tonight have been offended by somebody? And maybe are still living with that offense of something somebody did to you. It also takes humility, again, to show somebody else how they've offended you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would even a pagan or a tax collector. So somebody says or does something to offend you, and you just bring it up to them. You mention it to them. They're like, man, I didn't offend you. I was just joking around. How could you say that I insulted you? That was a joke. I was trying to be funny. And you're still insulted. You're offended. So you decide to take two other people along from the church to listen objectively. And that person still doesn't understand how they offended you, how they insulted you. So what does Jesus say to do at that point? He says, at that point, bring it to the church. Not to the entire church, like you stand up there on Sunday morning and say, this person has hurt me and said such and such. No, not that, right? Basically, you bring it to maybe a spiritual leader in the church, an elder, a leader over that certain ministry. And then it says this, if he even refuses to listen to the church, if he still does not understand how he offended you, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. You know, there's some believers out there, followers of Jesus Christ, who sometimes act like unbelievers. So if that believer does not understand how he offended you, how she offended you, and is acting like an unbeliever in the whole situation, will not listen, will not compromise, treat him as you would a pagan or tax collector. Love that person regardless. Forgiveness is a choice, a decision, not a feeling. Love that person regardless. They can't see their part in the wrong way. You know, somebody, for instance, may look at you, maybe for some of the women, and in a very nice way, maybe trying to be funny, say, you know what? You look a little fluffier lately. Right, that's pretty, you know, and somebody may be insulted by that. You know, and now you're offended, you're insulted. And now it takes humility for you to go to the person to show them. It takes humility in order to show them that your weight is an issue, is a sensitive issue to you. You've got to go to that person. Man, you said I look fluffier, man. That insulted me. That offended me. Why did you say that? I was just trying to be funny. And they just don't see it. So go through the process of reconciliation. Maybe bring somebody else along. That's kind of a small thing. But there are areas which are more significant, areas that are more important in bringing in another mediator or bringing in the church, if that makes sense tonight. Another thing that it takes to become friends again is what? It takes humility, and then it takes patience. Patience. Let's look at Ephesians 4 again. It takes humility, putting aside your pride, and letting that person know how they offended you, or going to them and saying, how did I offend you? That takes humility. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know what? In order to become friends with somebody again, it may take patience. It may take long suffering. Remember the story of the prodigal son here? Anybody? Luke chapter 15. What did that son do to the father? He said, Dad, give me my inheritance. It was like he was telling his dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my share of the inheritance before you die. And the dad gave it to him, right? Dad gave it to him. That boy ended up spending that inheritance. He ended up living with the pigs in the pig pen, squandering the wealth. Now let me ask you this. If that father held on to unforgiveness and offense, would he have come back into relationship with the son? Yes or no? No, right? But we see that that father had no seed of offense on the inside. He was what? He was patient. He was long-suffering. He waited and waited for that son to return. And it's the same way with us, friends. It's going to take patience to become friends again with some people who have offended us. You may have to wait. You may have to reach out to them once and twice and three times and again and again and again. It's going to take some patience and long suffering. Suffering long like the father of the prodigal son. Does that make sense tonight? Makes sense to you? Okay. And finally, and this is a given, becoming friends again with your offender is going to take, obviously, forgiveness. Because if you can't release that person on the inside, if you can't uproot those feelings of bitterness, there's no way that you want to be friends with them again. So you've got to decide on the inside, I'm going to forgive this person. I'm releasing them of the debt that they owe me. And just one final word here tonight. Now, there are situations, there are people out there who are dangerous. People who are verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, maybe physically abusive. And maybe somebody has verbally abused you, and they've asked for forgiveness, and you forgive them. And they do it again. They verbally abuse you again, and you forgive them again. And they do it again, and they ask for forgiveness again, and you forgive them again. And this keeps on going on. It becomes like a pattern. At that point, okay, you can release yourself from taking personal revenge on the person. But you've got to separate yourself from them. You really cannot become friends with that person until they deal with their problem of abuse. See what I'm saying? Make sense? So there are people out there who are dangerous, who have to deal with their abusive ways, verbally, emotionally, physically. And if they keep abusing you over and over and over and over again, you forgive them, you release them, you don't hold any grudge against them, but you can't be in close relationship with them. Now, for somebody who's died, maybe it was a loved one, a dad, a mom, a friend, and maybe there was a hard situation between you two, maybe there was some offense. Obviously, that person has passed on. You can't come back into relationship with them, but you can release them on the inside. And not hold on to those feelings of bitterness by praying, by getting into the Word, by not talking about it. And obviously there's some people out there that just do not want to talk. They're just stubborn. They can't see their part in the wrong. They don't want to talk with you. They refuse to communicate. You know, you really can't come into relationship with them if they refuse to communicate. But you do your part. You forgive and release them if they've offended you.